Well, we are delighted to welcome on your behalf. I think Samuel has been to Cumber before, maybe many years ago, and we're delighted to have our brother, Mr. Samuel Adams, who heads up the work of Every Home Crusade. If I can call it that, brothers, I'm sure that's okay. It still goes by that name. And they are heavily involved, as you know, in the work of the Lord, in gospel literature, gospel tracts. It's hardly a gospel tract that I was given over these last number of years, but it didn't come from Kinallen. People get them, they hand them out to town centres, and it's a tremendous work. So as we come tonight to see the presentation, to hear God's servant speak to us, we trust the Lord will bless you richly. We may ask him a few questions. We'll not interrogate you, brother. We'll definitely not do that. But we may ask and open it up, just see if there's a few questions that you would like to ask our brother Samuel. I'm sure he'll be well able to answer them. We're going to invite you to come now, please, and take your deputation. Thank you.
Well, first of all, can I say thank you to the Reverend Martin for his kind words of welcome. It's a pleasure to be with you tonight and to share a bit about Every Home Crusade Revival Movement Association. We don't mind what you call it. As far as Every Home Crusade is concerned, I think most people in Northern Ireland know us as Every Home Crusade, and then overseas, many people know us then as Revival Movement Association, but we don't mind in the least. First of all, tonight I want to read a few verses from the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 14. And we're going to break in at the end of this chapter. This is at the end of Paul's first missionary journey that we're breaking into. And just to help our thoughts and concentrate our thoughts tonight on the Word of God. So Acts chapter 14, commencing to read at verse 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord, on whom they believed. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attala, and thence sailed to Antioch, and from whence they had recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. In verse 27 there, there's a little phrase I just want us to think about for a second or two. And it talks there about Paul bringing the whole church together, rehearsing to them the things that God had done with them. The things that God had done with them throughout that first missionary journey. Of course, if you turn back to chapter 13, and that is where the first missionary journey started out. We find the church is meeting there in Antioch, and there the Holy Spirit speaks to the people there, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul. And there they set out. And there they leave the church in Antioch, and they start to move from place to place. And then as we move on down in there, we find they arrive in the city of Paphos in verse 6. And here we find Paul has this opportunity of speaking to one of the leaders of the city there. This man becomes really interested in the gospel message. But at the same time, we have this sorcerer, this man who is set totally against the gospel, a man called Elymas. And he does all he can to distract the ruler, does everything to disturb Paul, and so on. And then we find there in verse 11, eventually Paul speaks out. And Paul says to the man, "The hand of the Lord is upon thee, thou shalt be blind." I want you to just note what Paul said. It was the hand of the Lord. It wasn't his own command, it was the hand of the Lord. Here we have it, the Lord working with Paul. And of course the man is blinded, and of course then the ruler of the city is so amazed by what has just happened that he himself immediately becomes a believer. We find, of course, that Paul then carries on going to other cities as well, and eventually he arrives in another city called Antioch. Now, of course, he set out from Antioch, but the Antioch that he now arrives in is in a completely different place. Tonight, if you went to Antioch, you would find Antioch in Syria. But the Antioch that is in Pisidia is really in Turkey. That is where the second Antioch actually is. And we find the whole church, the whole city comes together to hear Paul. They have never heard anything like this before, the message that Paul is preaching. And everybody comes to hear. And what happens? Well, the Jewish leaders, they get very envious of the situation. They don't like this because the Gentiles have come as well. And of course, they are opposed to Paul. And again, we find that again, the Lord speaks again. And we see this in verse 47 of chapter 13. And again, the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Again, this amazing situation develops, where the Lord suddenly speaks through Paul, again, God working through Paul, and again says, okay, if the Jews will not accept the way of salvation, I'm opening it up for the Gentiles. And what do we find? We find many of the Gentiles become believers. Then Paul moves on to Iconium in chapter 14. And again, there in verse 1, we find that many of the Greeks believed. The Gentile people were believing as well. And of course, then we find Paul in Lystra. There he gets stoned. He's left for dead. But then eventually starts and he moves right back through all the cities that he has visited. And where we read tonight, where they ordain the elders and pray with fasting with them. And then he gets right back to Antioch. And again, he gathers the church all together. And the whole idea, again, is as they gather the church, they rehearse the things that God has done with them. And you know, as we think of that tonight, isn't it very remarkable? Here we're talking tonight about the God of the heavens, the God who is our great creator, the all-powerful, almighty God. But he doesn't do the work without us. He does the work with us. It is not a case that he leaves us to do the work on our own. Instead, the Lord is with us. And whatever role and whatever situation you find yourself in day by day, and whatever way you're serving the Lord today, the Lord is working with you. And that is a tremendous thing to remember tonight, that God is not going to do the work without us, but at the same time, he is not leaving it to us alone. And you know, in many ways, as I think of this, this is exactly the story of every home crusade. The Lord working with us. Because it's not a case that this is our work. It is not a case that this is what we have done. This tonight is a story of what God is doing and what God has done. And that is what we want to present tonight, because we want all the glory to go to him tonight, because this is his work. It's not just even the work of the staff of Every Home Crusade. It is also the story of many supporters across the country who have financed and have helped this ministry, people who have prayed for the ministry right around our world. And it is all joining together, but it is God working with us tonight. And you know, I want to take you to the factory and let you see a little bit of some of the machinery. Sorry, we're not on yet, are we? Right, we'll go back a wee bit. Right, we've got, okay. And if somebody would like to dim the lights, appreciate that, so everybody can see just a little bit clearer. But we'll take you to the factory in Canallan tonight. And in the factory, we have a lot of different printing presses. This is the Conceptor printing press. It is printing a big roll of paper right through the machine. Now, last year in the factory, we used a total of 1,535 tons of paper. So it gives you a little bit of an idea. A lot of paper is moving through that factory in the production of the literature. Then in the background here, you will see what we call a Heidelberg five-color press. Now, this particular machine is used for printing sheets of paper, not rolls of paper. This gives us a lot of versatility as far as different sizes of paper, big sheets, smaller sheets, different weights of paper, different qualities of paper. So there's a lot of variety. At the moment, we are printing in at least 95 languages. I really need to update that because I know in the last few weeks we printed in another 9 languages. So that figure definitely needs upgraded. But you know, we feed the paper into the machine at one end, big white sheets, and coming out the other end in full colour. After that, after the pages have been printed, they go to the guillotine, and there they will be cut. Now, these are CEF flashcard Bible lessons that have been printed. We print 8 pictures on a great big sheet. Then they're cut down into individual pictures. So we will be getting there around, we are cutting there around 500 sheets at a time on that machine. Now, then from there, we have what we call the saddle stitcher. Now, we feed the pages on. They come down into this corner here. Are stapled, come around here, we trim all the edges, and you have 2 booklets coming out of every section. We print 2 booklets at a time. We have 2 of these machines running all day, every day, working on booklets. Now, Gospels of John, of course, are very important as far as we are concerned. This past year, we printed over 7 million Gospels of John, because we believe in the importance of the Word of God. But of course, on top of that, there are literally millions of other booklets that we print, different sizes and so on. We also have our folding machines. This machine is taking the roll of paper that you've seen being printed earlier, unwinds the roll of paper, cuts it into individual sheets, and those individual sheets are then folded and into sections to be going to the stapling machine again. We also fold all our tracts on this machine. They're printed on the big rolls again. And as they're folded, cut, trimmed, and so on, come out in bundles, we will be getting nearly 100,000 tracts an hour coming off this machine whenever it's running on tracts. Now, you think 100,000 tracts is an awful lot. Well, it sounds an awful lot until your order is 3 to 4 million tracts, and then you begin to realise that you need a machine that runs at that sort of speed. I mentioned CEF flashcard Bible lessons a moment ago. We have a team of volunteers that come into the factory. They work on these flashcard Bible lessons. Now, those sheets are all collated into books. The book then comes to this end of the machine here. We punch a hole right across it. Then we have wire spiral bind, which is up there. That goes into the book. The book then comes out the other end, and the books are then packed with teacher guides into the boxes and ready to go off. To give you a little bit of an idea just on the sheer volume of these flashcard Bible lessons, this past year we printed over 500,000 flashcard Bible lessons for CEF, and those have literally gone right out across our world. At this moment in time, we are using 6 tons of paper on average every working day. Now, this is our paper store. So this is just a moving mass all the time. Paper heading into the print room, but all 6 tons of paper into the print room, but that also means there's 6 tons coming out again, then being made up for going out. This past week, we took delivery of 322-ton loads of paper. That one reeler will weigh nearly 3/4 of a ton. So it gives you a little bit of an idea as to paper coming in and so on. And then you can see the material there sitting waiting to go out as well. Now, material going out with 3 different methods. Number one, we will be posting small 5-kilo parcels of literature. Then at other times, we are shipping pallet loads of literature. And then at other times, we are filling 20-foot containers or even 40-foot containers and shipping those out. Altogether, we have literature moving out to about 170 countries around the world. Last week, we actually shipped 3 containers. One of those containers went to Uganda. The second container went to Tanzania. Then last Thursday, we shipped a container to Brazil. This Thursday, we plan to ship a container to Kenya. And next Tuesday, then another container for Nigeria. So there's just a constant flow of material on the move through the factory. This here is our biggest machine. It can take three rolls of paper and print them all at the same time. So you have three lines of paper traveling there. Those three lines of paper come together. They are then folded and cut into individual sections. Those individual sections then are all stacked, put into the crates, and ready to go to the saddle stitcher to be made into booklets. At the moment there, we are printing Gospels of John, and you're coming off there at a rate of about 12,000 an hour. So it gives you an idea, just speed, volume, and so on. So tremendous machine, because it also can print colour, which is a great benefit, especially for young people's booklets. Want to take you to a few of the different countries around the world tonight. First of all, South Sudan. Now, South Sudan as a country is probably one of the youngest countries in the world, because, of course, there was the civil war in Sudan. And now you have North, now you have South Sudan. And interestingly enough, we work with an organisation called Mailbox Club. They produce young people's booklets, teacher guides and so on. And somehow the South Sudanese government approached Mailbox and said, we would like your booklets to go into the hands of every pupil in the schools of South Sudan. And we want the teacher guides all we want our teachers trained and given teacher guides as well. They estimate that there's at least 3 million children in the schools of South Sudan. So that is enormous within itself. It's also a landlocked country, so hard to get at. But we're trying to ship a container with about 200,000 booklets plus teacher guides every 2 months to South Sudan. So there's just constant flow of material going out there. Now, this is a consignment that you see. We ship into the city of Juba. But on this particular occasion, the folk wanted the booklets in the city of Rank, which is quite a bit north of Juba. And they estimated that the best way for them to ship these booklets to the city of Rank was by riverboat. Now, what did they do? Well, the first thing that they did was they opened up our boxes, they took the literature out, wrapped it all in plastic and put them back into the boxes. Then, if you look carefully, they put bamboo canes in the bottom of the boat, so that if there's any little bit of water, they'll be out of the boxes, will be out of the water. They built all of the booklets into the boat. And then they have a big tarpaulin, and they put the big tarpaulin right over all of the boxes. Now, after they do that, then they load the people. So the people sit on top. Now, the journey, this is the White Nile. So the journey up the White Nile for this boat was estimated to take 8 to 10 days. There was only one problem. A terrorist group hijacked the boat halfway and took it over and held it for ransom. Now, thankfully, we weren't involved in any of that ransom talks or whatever. But after 2 months, they managed to get the boat released, and the boat arrived 2 months late into the city of Rank. But the booklets have all been distributed. They've gone into the schools there, and the Lord is blessing. When I talk about Mailbox Club, we work with them in many other countries. This was a consignment that arrived recently in Sierra Leone. The first thing that they did was they trained the teachers how to use the teachers' guides, how to use the students' booklets, and so on. Then the students themselves got the booklets, and they started into the lessons and doing the lessons. Now, this is happening not just in Sierra Leone, but all of French-speaking countries of West Africa, English-speaking, the likes of Ghana, and Nigeria. We send a lot of these booklets in, and they're being very, very widely used. End of September, I had the opportunity of going out to Ivory Coast. I went there to a conference. These are all leaders of Every Home for Christ in Africa. They brought all their leadership together, and we have supplied many of these people with supplies of literature over a number of years. So I had the opportunity of sitting talking to them, many of them sharing stories of appreciation for the literature, others requesting more literature, and we had a really good week of spending time with these folk. I also had the opportunity of speaking to them, of course. One of the things that they were interested in was during the first, whenever COVID hit, we were locked down for the first 10 weeks, and we had already discussed the idea of having digital tracks, so we developed that during that time. And the whole idea is that you can go onto our website. We have what we call a digital library. There, people can go in and read any tract that they want, any booklet that they want. They can read it on computer screen, on their phone, or whatever. But then they can also send it using social media. So they can send it in a WhatsApp message. They can send it on Facebook. They can send it in whatever way they like. And as we developed that, we sent those out across the world to many different countries, many different languages, and people started using them during the first lockdown and have continued to use them. And these African leaders were really interested in how they could develop this even within their own ministry and so on. Now, this guy here is called Samuel. He's the leader of Every Home for Christ in Ethiopia. A number of years ago, he took some of our tracts, translated them into the Amharic, Oromo, and Tigrinya languages, those three languages. We printed them, shipped them out, and he distributed. And he told me, not very long ago, he said, I went to visit a church. He says, I was hanging around at the beginning, and I started to talk to a young usher who just working in the church. So he said to this young guy, he says, tell me, how did you become a Christian? The young guy says, well, he said, for quite some time, I suffered from depression, and I didn't go out at all. One day, he said, my sister came home and set a leaflet on our table. Whenever she went out, he says, I picked it up and started to read it. The title was A New Start. And, as soon as he said A New Start to Samuel, Samuel immediately picked up, because Samuel knew that was one of our titles that he had translated into the Amharic language. And the young guy says, he says, I read through it. When my sister came home, she's not a Christian, but I asked her, where did she get the leaflet? And she knew where the leaflet came from. So he says, I went to the church. And there, he said, I trusted the Lord to be my Savior. He says, I've got involved in the church, and today I'm an usher here in the church. And that was the story, full circle, of just one gospel tract. This guy here is called David. He comes from South Sudan. And we had supplied them with a lot of Gospels of John. He told me, he says, there was Gospels of John were distributed sort of randomly at one stage. And this lady got a Gospel of John. No church connection whatsoever. No contact with Christians. But this lady started to read the Gospel of John for herself. Now, this lady was quite notorious in her own area. And the reason why she was notorious in her own area was because she stole everything that she could lay her hands on. And she managed to steal a goat. And after a little bit of time, the goat had two kids. So she had, done really well. But meantime, she was reading the Gospel of John. And meantime, she trusted Jesus Christ to be her Savior. No other contact, just the Gospel of John. And as she read it, she realized, my lifestyle's wrong. I can't keep doing this. And she took the goat back to the person that she stole it from, gave the goat back to the man who had it. Not only that, she took the two kids as well and gave them all back to this man. Now, you can imagine, she said, why she was doing this was because she'd become a Christian. You imagine the impact that had on that area. Now she's involved in a church and so on there in South Sudan. Sometimes we talk about the power of social media, and I certainly got the experience of the power of social media when I was in Ivory Coast. Because one day I decided to put on our Facebook page that I was in Ivory Coast and started to pray for me, and I was at this conference and so on. Literally within 15 minutes, I got a message from these guys here. These are the leaders of CEF in Ivory Coast, and they had seen the Facebook, and they said, right, whereabouts are you? We want to come and see you. So we had supplied them with literature for quite a few years. They came, they asked me for a lot more literature. So there is 6 pallets of literature due to arrive with them any day now in Ivory Coast to help them with their work. Nigeria, West Africa, again, probably one of the, it is the largest country as far as population is concerned, over 200 million people in Africa. In Nigeria, largest country, largest population in Africa. We have our own depot there in Lagos. We ship 40-foot containers into that depot. They unload them in the depot, and then the literature starts and heads right out across the country of Nigeria. All these men here that are gathered are all evangelists, and they have come together for a day of prayer in the depot, praying for Revival Movement Association, praying for the literature distribution that takes place in Nigeria. And in case the ladies feel left out, they have their own day of prayer as well. So there's a lot of work going on from the depot. This is actually here one of the teams from the depot that go out doing evangelism. So they have, yes, their own methods, these are some of the folk that are using the tracts and so on. But we're working with a lot of different organizations right across the country of Nigeria. I mentioned Every Home for Christ a few minutes ago. They have the country divided into 4 regions. There's northwest, northeast, southwest, southeast, and they use a lot of the literature. I was talking to a couple of the leaders from the north of the country, where there is a lot of opposition to the gospel message. And as I talked to them, I said to them, you know, I said, do you face much opposition? Oh, they said, of course we face opposition. They said, we wouldn't be doing good work anyway if we weren't facing opposition. So it just taught me a little lesson in that regard. They're looking at a lot of literature in the Hausa language and the Arabic language for distribution there in the north of the country. I mentioned CEF earlier. We continue to work in many countries with CEF, but this is Romania. And whenever COVID hit, they said, well, we can't have good news clubs, we can't have camps and so on. What can we do? We can distribute literature. So they made up these sets of literature, took them away out to villages where there is no churches, and started distributing the literature. They had a number of interesting situations. One particular village that they went into, they met the Orthodox priest. He wasn't happy to see Christian literature being given out, and he got himself really annoyed about it all, and so much so that he called the police. And the police came, and they took some of the literature, examined it all, and said to the priest, there is absolutely nothing wrong with this literature at all. These people are completely free to distribute the literature. Now, last year, they distributed something in the region of 1 million pieces of literature. Then come towards Christmas, they started a big project, and they wanted another 200,000 booklets for Christmas, plus teaching material for Christmas as well, what they call Christmas clubs. CEF, actually, in Romania, trained 1,200 people to do these Christmas clubs. They reached at least 78,000 children in the weeks up to Christmas. This happened not only with CEF in Romania, but it happened right across the whole of Europe. We already had shipped supplies of literature to many of the other countries. I think of Hungary, I think of the Czech Republic, I think of Macedonia, Moldova, and so on. Many different countries got supplies of the material for these Christmas clubs that CEF had been operating. We also work with a guy called Paul Williams in Romania. Paul uses a tremendous volume of literature, but he also has all these tents, and he organizes all these tents to go to different villages during the summer sends evangelists with the tents, and there they go, and they hold gospel campaigns in these villages, and does a tremendous work, has this all organized, going right through the summertime. Of course, they've also got a children's ministry as well, while distributing literature. We also gave him something in the region of 130,000 scripture calendars there at Christmas in the Romanian language, and he has those all distributed as well. We also work with the organization called Bible Educational Services. Again, young people's material. And they use this as Bible study material in schools and Sunday schools and so on. Now, the guy in Rwanda, where we had shipped some of the material, he was having difficulty transporting the literature within the country. So he came up with a little bit of an unusual way of doing so. Because he wanted, there were 7 different schools, he had 8,000 booklets, and he wanted them delivered to those 7 schools. So he literally asked all these young people to take one box each and carry it to the schools. Some of the schools were actually up to 8 miles away. I know what it's like to carry one of those boxes the length of our factory. You know, for them to carry them at that sort of distance was absolutely amazing. But that's how he got the literature out. Before COVID hit, what they were doing was bringing an entire school together for like an assembly where a local pastor would come in, teach the Bible lesson for that week. Each student had their own booklet. They filled in the questions, and then they were marked every week, and this is the way they worked. When COVID hit, he said, we weren't able to bring our assemblies together, so we were allowed only to teach 50 children at a time. And he said that was put a lot of strain on the volunteers who were going in to do the teaching. Just looking at Facebook in the last few weeks, I see they've changed tact yet again, because now they're bringing the entire school together outside, and the local pastor is going in and then doing the teaching to the entire school, but all outside. We've been working with a lot of different BS in a lot of different countries as well. We've been doing a lot of Spanish literature. This is a shipment that arrived in Puerto Rico. We have another consignment of Spanish material arriving now shortly in Venezuela. We have a whole series of container loads of Spanish literature on request for Mexico, Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, Chile, just to name some of them. So a lot of Spanish material coming up very soon. We also work with an organization in Tanzania called Somna Biblica. They distribute a lot of Gospels of John in the Swahili language. So we've been working with them very closely. Actually, one of the containers last week was to Tanzania and included another big consignment of Swahili Gospels of John for their work there in Tanzania. We've continued to work with New Tribes Mission in Papua New Guinea. The man in the center of the picture is called Jim Tanner. He spent a lifetime in Papua New Guinea and had just turned 75 and had to retire from the field. And I was very glad that that container load of literature arrived literally before he left. But he has worked over these years in writing books, solid teaching material for the churches there in Papua New Guinea. Now he has left a whole team behind him there, and they're carrying on the ministry there, distributing these books, going out to the tribes, teaching the tribes, building the churches up, getting them stabilized in the Word of God. And there is a tremendous volume of work going on out there. Russia. Russia, of course, is on our news, but this particular news is not on the news as such. But we have been working a lot of literature into Russia. Started 2-3 years ago with Every Home for Christ. At first it was like 1 million leaflets was their request. But just over about a year and a half ago, they approached us. And this is what they said. They said, look, we would like to do a project. We would like you to print 4 million Gospels of John for distribution in Russia. I did a little calculation and was a little astonished to realize that that was 15 containers. I told them that, and it didn't put them off at all. Because sometimes people order stuff and they don't really know what they're asking for, but these people do know what they're asking for. So the first thing that we had to do was get permission from the Russian government to import the Gospels of John. So that took about 3 months for all the paperwork to be sorted out so that we could print and they could import the Gospels of John legally into the country. That permission came through last spring and we started printing Gospels of John. Since that time, we have shipped 7 container loads of Gospels of John into Russia. This is the guy here, Artem, who looks after all of the work there. They have around 30-40 full-time workers distributing the literature. They also have about 300-400 volunteers also distributing literature, and that literature heads out right across the country of Russia. This is one container load of Gospels of John that had arrived there in Moscow. Then, just before Christmas, we actually shipped another container. That was about 3 million leaflets in that container to help them. And, even at this moment in time, this week, they've already been they're chasing me yet again. We're needing more material. They said we're distributing something like around 1 million items a month in Russia. So that gives you just a little bit of an idea what is going on there spiritually in the background. These are things that are going on that we don't really hear about. But it is absolutely fantastic that these people are out there and they're getting the Word of God out and into people's hands. And we know that the power of the gospel is in the Word of God. And tonight, I would just ask you to continue to pray for us. Pray for us in the work. There is a tremendous volume of literature moving out all the time. Many, many requests are coming in thick and fast. Sometimes we hardly know which road to turn. We have so many requests for the literature. But we would just value your prayers tonight that the Lord will continue to bless his word as it goes out, and that we will just know the Lord's leading and guiding day by day. So thank you for the opportunity again tonight of sharing. We appreciate that very much. Thank you. Do you want any questions? Yes,
we can take it.
Right.